This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
The following is provided through the IAAIS Program Share Service.
Welcome to today's reading of Soap Opera Digest. I'm Deborah Morrell for the Virginia Voice. Our first article is titled, Exclusive, Adam J. Harrington Weighs In on John's Attack and Night with Carly, by Michelle Parkinson. An interview. General Hospital's John and Carly shared an unexpected night together when she played nursemaid after stopping an attack on the FBI agent. Soap Opera Digest caught up with Agent Kate's portrayer, Adam J. Harrington, to get the scoop on who John thinks may be behind the attack and his surprising connection with Carly. Soap Opera Digest asked, who does John suspect was behind his assault? Harrington, well, so far John doesn't have an idea or isn't making public that he has any ideas of who caused the beating, but he does suspect that it was not a mugging. He's a good FBI agent. There's any number of people that he is suspecting right now, but he hasn't narrowed it down. Digest. Do you think John was surprised that Carly is the one who took care of him after all that? Harrington, that's a great question. I hadn't thought of this. I'm guessing John really wasn't thinking about it being Carly at the time. He was just kind of in a crisis. One of the things I loved about the whole night was that it's kind of like a moment out of time. He's not driving FBI plot. She's not trying to figure out information. There was no agenda. They were both kind of protected. She's protected from him. He's not in a power position. You know, he was vulnerable and protected from her. There was no one for her to keep safe or hide details from. And what do you do when you're thrown into a situation with somebody where you're just going to have to be sitting with them for 24 hours? Laughs the actor. I thought it was written in a way where there's an understanding and a respect between them both. I don't think there was any moment where she was not aware that he's an FBI agent, and there was no moment that he wasn't aware of her history and relationship to other people in the town. I really liked it. I was really looking forward to shooting it with Laura Wright, who plays Carly, and we had a really nice time shooting it. Digest. You had your first shirtless soap opera scene as well. Harrington. What I loved about it, which is different, is there's absolutely nothing between Carly and John about the fact that he suddenly appears in a towel. It's kept rather businesslike. I think it was a nice show of respect from John to Carly, given how much she helped him that night. I thought about it as we were shooting. If he came out in a towel and tried to hit on her after what they'd been through, it would feel so disrespectful to what's happening. But what I loved was at the end of the scene, the truly most vulnerable and intimate they are is when they know they're parting ways. Digest. Yes. When they are saying goodbye at the door, right? Harrington. Yep. Isn't that interesting that sometimes, with people, the one moment they actually show how they feel is when they know there's an escape hatch. They know they're about to walk away. So it's almost safe in that moment to do it. I thought that was really special about how the writers handled John and Carly. Even the music in that scene was beautifully done. Digest. Over the next few episodes, They start to grow closer a little bit. Does John start to see a different side to her? Harrington. Well, again, what I loved about the scene was that it's kind of a moment out of time. The reality right now is all kinds of stuff is going down with Sunny. Jason's back. She's recently broke up with Drew. And they do grow somewhat closer. Digest. Do you see a scenario where maybe John will be torn professionally and personally with Carly? Harrington. Oh, that's already happened. I mean, the history with Jason and what's gone on in the last 2 years, who Carly was to John on paper, as just a tool to be used as bait, is a starting to get very complicated. And that's an interview. An exclusive. Adam J. Harrington, the actor, weighs in on John's attack and A Night with Carly on General Hospital by Michelle Parkerton. Now, a Soap Opera Digest question roundup. Daytime actors and actresses were asked, how long does it typically take you to memorize a script? Don DeMont, who plays Bill on Bold and Beautiful, says, it depends on the script and how many pages I have. It could take anywhere from half an hour to 3 hours on a crazy 60-page day. Leo Howard, who plays Tate on Days of Our Lives, says, it's different for every episode, but let's call it 4 hours. I just look at the scenes, understand the point of view, and really try to understand how what's going on must feel. Typically, by the time I'm done with that, I find that the words are kind of automatically in my head. Michael Mueller, who plays Kyle on Young and Restless, says, I'm lucky, and it comes fairly easy to me. I can memorize close to a page in a minute. Eden McCoy, who plays Jocelyn on General Hospital, answers, never more than an hour. I memorize the night before, every time, because I find if I memorize earlier, it just doesn't work. I just kind of read it and say it out loud a few times, and I'm done. The memory is a muscle, and I could do it in my sleep at this point. Brighton James, the actor who plays Devin on Young and Restless, says, I usually can learn 1 to 2 scripts in a day. Raven Bowens, who plays Chanel on Days of Our Lives, says, it takes me 30 minutes to an hour, depending on how much dialogue there is. If I have a heavy storyline, I'll work with an acting coach at the top of the week so I'm prepared to get through the rest of the week. We also have an acting coach on set, and she'll run lines with us in our rooms during the day before. Whenever I work with Carson Boatman, who plays Johnny, I always feel very safe because I know we're going to run our lines a lot. And finally, Evan Hoffer, who plays Dex on General Hospital, says, oh, not long. If I'm really busting through it, I could probably memorize like 5 minutes a page and have it down, probably less. And that's Soap Opera Digest question roundup for this week. Daytime actors and actresses were asked, how long does it typically take you to memorize a script? Now, seen and heard. Jackie Harry, who plays Paulina on Days of Our Lives, talks about her daughters on set by Janet DeLario. Jackie Harry, who plays Paulina, realizes she's hit the jackpot with her 2 Days of Our Lives daughters, Raven Bowen, who plays Chanel, and Sal Stowers, who plays Lainey. They're great, and we really have a nice relationship, says the actress. I feel like Raven's mother. But with Sal, I feel more, equal or on par. She instills such good feelings. She's a very positive individual, and she uplifts everyone. And maybe it's because she's a little bit older and she's been at Days a little longer. Her understanding of life is different, so I treat them accordingly. Both on screen and off, Chanel is the younger sister, and Lainey is the older sister who grew up with a different parent, explains Harry. So I'm trying to make up for lost time with Sal, with her character Lainey. There's a little guilt going on, as opposed to Chanel, who is just a fighter. She's like Paulina. She's a scrapper. According to Harry, Bowens is a fighter, too. If you've got something going on, she's like, wait, where are you at? What do you need? What do you need? Recounts Harry. Sal's a smooth one, but strong. Sal is a really strong woman and gorgeous, like stunning. And she's resolute in what she wants to do. She does yoga and other exercising, and she's committed to that. You can see her spirit is different. But Raven, we can go anywhere, and she's got my back. And that's the article from Seen and Heard this week. Jack A. Harry, who plays Paulina on Days of Our Lives, talks about her on-screen daughters. Our next article concerns Laura Lee Bell, who plays Christine on The Young and Restless. She talks about her day of volunteering with writer Devin Owens. Laura Lee Bell, who plays Christine on Young and Restless, is pleased to have recently joined co-stars Melody Thompson-Scott, who plays Nikki, and Eric Braden, who plays Victor, Tracy Bregman, who plays Lauren, Michelle Stafford, who plays Phyllis, and Colleen Zenk, who plays Jordan, to help out at Project Angel Food, a foundation that prepares and delivers free meals to people with health challenges. We had so much fun, and we were all very goal-oriented, says Bell. Eric and I were packaging buddies, and we took it very seriously. We had our own system when it came down to slapping the labels on the meals as fast as we could. In fact, at the end of the day, I even had a label for ham dinner stuck on my shoe. Bell learned a lot about not only the good works of the operation, but also the human side. We found out that the people who receive the food, the delivery person is often their only visitor of the whole week, she explains. So they get dressed up and they hope that their visitor can talk for even 3 or 4 minutes because, for many of them, it's their only in-person contact with someone. And that's really heartbreaking. You just want to hug them all. Despite a very busy day of volunteering, Bell experienced some fun moments. Richard Ayub is the chief executive officer, and after he met with Melody and Eric, I thought he had gone on his way when I heard he wanted to talk to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'd be happy to, she recalls. He then told me, I just want to tell you a little funny story. Before coming to Project Angel Food, I worked at a local CBS station about, some 30 years ago. I'm assuming the subject would be about my mom, Young and Restless co-creator and former talk show host Lee Philip Bell. But, he said, I have actually spoken with your father, Young and Restless co-creator and former head writer, the late William J. Bell. I've spoken to him before. Because Richard would talk to people who would call into the news during a certain period of time. It turned out that the conversation was not very pleasant because this was during the time when the late O.J. Simpson trial had preempted daytime television for months. Bell continues that Richard got a call from my dad who said, get that off the TV and put the shows back on. It's on every channel. We don't need it on every channel. And I said, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I actually remember him yelling at some poor soul, and it must have been you. I'm happy to be here helping you out today because you took one for the team. Bell also took advantage of that day with a special photo op for fans. A lot of people assume Michelle and I don't get along because our characters hate each other. But, in fact, we love each other, she shares. So I posted a picture of us from Angel Food where we're smiling and I had my arm around her. People said they thought it was visually bizarre to see us that way, chuckles the actress. I think it's hysterical every time she calls me the bug on the show. And that is a recap from Laura Lee Bell, who plays Christine on Days of Our Lives. I'm sorry, on Young and Restless, on her day of volunteering. Next, five things that happened in soap opera history for April the 16th. Number one, in 1987, Pooches, that's right, dogs, Reggie and Martha tied the knot on Days of Our Lives. Number two, in 1993, All My Children's Kindle revealed to Myrtle that she is Erica's daughter. Number three, in 1993, General Hospital's Lucy found out she was pregnant with Serena, the child she was carrying as a surrogate for Scott and Dominique. Number four, in 2007, One Life to Live's Natalie admitted to John that she was jealous when she saw him with Marty. And number five, in 2014, Katie McLean made her Young and Restless debut as Kelly. And those are five soap opera highlights from history for April the 16th. And speaking of soap opera history, remembering Young and Restless's Victor and Nikki's wedding on the 40th anniversary, a flashback by Devin Owens. In April in 1984, millionaire mogul Victor Newman tied the long-awaited knot with former exotic dancer Nikki Reed on the 40th anniversary of the lavish ceremony. Here's a look back at what made their story a big day, so special. In the beginning, Victor and Nikki's incredible love saga began in 1981 when he was escorted by best friend Douglas Austin to the Bayou, a gentleman's club, where Nikki was headlining. Before that fateful night, Victor and Nikki had never laid eyes on each other since they traveled in polar opposite social circles. Victor was immediately impressed by Nikki's performance, but hid his identity and bank account from the stripper as they were getting to know each other. In fact, when Nikki first visited Victor's sprawling ranch, he pretended to be the butler. After coming clean as the actual lord of the manor, Victor invited Nikki to move in so that he could transform her into a refined lady. As she was being introduced to culture and proper etiquette, Victor tapped good friend and grand dame Catherine Chancellor to give Nikki extra guidance, which started a close friendship between them that lasted for decades. Complications. Along the way, Victor's Professor Higgins fell in love with his fair lady, and the feeling was mutual. Unfortunately, because of his shabby treatment of first wife Julia, Victor didn't think he deserved to be happy and in love. Instead, he pushed Nikki into a romance with the more age-appropriate Kevin Bancroft, an architect. Convinced that Victor didn't return her affection, Nikki and the rich boy started seeing each other. However, Kevin's disapproving mama, Allison, believed her son was trading down and discouraged the budding relationship. Despite Victor's matchmaking meddling, he and Nikki slept together, but he deemed that a huge mistake, and back to Kevin she went. when Nikki found herself pregnant, she knew Victor was the father, but also that he didn't want kids. So she allowed Kevin to believe he was going to be a dad and accepted his proposal. They wed in 1982, but Nikki was soon unhappy in her marriage, even after giving birth that same year to a girl she named Victoria, after Kevin's grandmother. Allison hired Rick Daros to romance Nikki, and it worked. She asked Kevin for a divorce. However, Rick turned out to be a psycho who tried to kill Nikki. Victor, Paul Williams, and Andy Richards came to the rescue, but Victor sustained a groin injury that left him impotent and feeling sorry for himself. When he recovered, he asked Nikki to be his wife. The venue of the wedding. The ultra swanky colonnade room. It was a beautiful location for the stunning couple and would remain special for them for years to come. The dress. Nikki's eye-popping wedding gown was a one-of-a-kind masterpiece befitting royalty. The main fabric was imported French silk, faced satin, and organza, followed by a 10-foot train. Her headpiece was a crown of 20,000 hand-sewn beads and pearls. The guest list. Aside from family and friends living in Genoa City, the Brooks sisters, Lori, who used to be engaged to the groom, Leslie and Chris returned home for the grand event. A who's who of the international corporate community flew in from all corners of the globe, which was only fitting. After all, it was the wedding of Victor Newman. The uninvited. That would be Eve Howard, Victor's former secretary and bedmate, who never forgave him for ending their affair. Eve's hurt turned into scorn, which festered into a thirst for revenge. Eve was eventually locked up in a loony bin after her attempt on his life failed, and when she learned of Victor and Nikki's wedding, she escaped her padded cell and showed up at the colonnade room to off the bride. Despite Victor's security detail, Eve went undetected, disguised as a member of the catering staff. However, her attempt to serve Nikki a poisoned beverage before the walk down the aisle was thwarted, so Eve planned a much more sinister attack. The nuptials. No expense was spared, no detail overlooked when Victor created a lavish fairy tale setting for his bride. Nikki's sister, Dr. Casey Reed, was thrilled to be the maid of honor, and Douglas served as Victor's best man as heartfelt vows were exchanged. During the reception that followed, the couple shared their first dance to Gina Roma singing Through the Eyes of Love, and later, Ashley Abbott caught the bridal bouquet. As Nikki was changing into her get-away outfit, Eve was poised to plunge a knife into the newly minted Mrs. Newman. A door suddenly swung open and knocked out of her would-be assailant. By the time she came to, the newlyweds were gone, so Eve stowed away in their luggage that had yet to be picked up. Unfortunately for the nutcase, Victor and Nikki decided to stay home while their bags were sent ahead to the honeymoon destination. And that is a recap. Remembering Young and Restless's Victor and Nikki's Wedding on the 40th Anniversary by Devin Owens. Next, we have an article about actor Evan Hoffer, who plays Dex on General Hospital, by Michelle Parkerton. When it comes to memorizing his General Hospital script, Evan Hoffer, who plays Dex, has a very particular routine with a very important woman in his life. I've run lines every night with my mom since I started acting when I was around 14, he confesses. I run my lines with my mom every day, and we have it down to a science, as in mother and son have a nightly phone call to go over his script. Oh, absolutely, he confirms. And if she's ever busy, I'm like, what do I pay you for? Laughs the actor. No, I don't pay her. I do not do it by myself, however. So when she's unavailable, I put my friends to work. Hoffer's mom has even become quite adept at figuring out where a storyline is headed. My mom even sees points that I miss every now and then. She'll be like, well, you know that this is this, right? And I'm like, oh, I did not know. But now I have to print it in on my script like I already did. Yep, quite impressive considering that she isn't a longtime soap fan. She's a General Hospital fan as of 2 years ago, Hoffer says with a chuckle. She's just a smart cookie, and I say cookie on purpose because her cookies are so wonderful. And that is the article. Actor Evan Hoffer, who plays Dex on General Hospital, talks about his relationship with his mom since he was 14, by Michelle Parkerton. Now we have a quick update of a new show. The Gates get series pickup from CBS, starting soon. Michelle Valjean shared the news on her official X account that her show, The Gates, she has created, has received a series pickup from CBS. The show is set to premiere in January. This comes just a few days after it was announced that The Talk was canceled, set to bow out in December after 15 seasons. The soap opera is set to follow the lives of a wealthy black family in an upscale gated community. The website says that Valjean is set to serve as writer and showrunner. Those aren't usually the terms used in daytime soaps, but the daytime Emmy-winning scribe certainly has written incredible stories over the years during her time at Bold and Beautiful, General Hospital, Generation, Santa Barbara, and she was also a writer on Ambitions. The site reports that Valjean will also be an executive producer alongside Sheila Duckworth, Leon Russell, Derek Johnson, and Kimberly Dobernier. The soap is a joint venture between CBS Studios and the NAACP, as well as in partnership with P&G Studios and a division of Procter & Gamble. And that's a heads up on a new series coming at the end of the year. Well, thank you for joining me today for Soap Opera Digest. I'm Deborah Morrell for the Virginia Voice. This program is also available on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.